Real Romance Stream Mini, brought to you by the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hey everybody, and welcome back to Real Romance. We got another stream mini here for you, and this is going to cover all the stuff we watched in the month of July. So, the year is over halfway over, and movie theaters still aren't open, so there was a shit ton to stream.
AMC delayed their opening again.
Because they're garbage.
No, because they're trying to keep us safe.
Oh, I'm safe. They keep bars and things open. They keep letting people go run around willy-nilly. I don't think the movie theaters are going to break us.
Yes, things are literally surging, but okay.
I know, but I'm saying it's like if you're going to, give me fucking Mulan. Let me see New Mutants. It's supposed to come out next month, and it's still not coming out.
So you're okay getting sick as long as you get to see the movie you want.
I will wear a hazmat suit. I will look like one of those dudes from Monsters, Inc. wearing that big yellow suit in order to watch me some New Mutants.
2319!
This whole fucking world is a 2319.
Fair enough.
Well, for those of you who don't know, my name's Robert, also known as Bamfing Bob, and this is my wife, Brittany.
Hello.
And we watched quite a bit, but most of it is either things that we were catching up on, or things that we got caught up in. 90 Day Fiancé was one that we kind of saw popping up on social media, Big Ed, and we said, oh, this will be a fun show. And literally like 24 hours later, no, more than that, like probably 30 hours worth of content later.
Yeah, it took us quite a while to get through that, and the app we watched it on kept messing up, so it was kind of frustrating. Right. So we probably won't do any more of that unless we watched it where I recorded it live.
Right. Because my whole thing is that 90 Day Fiancé, there's 15 episodes in the season. Each of the episodes is between an hour and a half and 2.5 hours long, so essentially a movie.
There was a lot of filler, too.
And then there were 3 Where Are They Now webisodes. So if you add up, say an average of 2 hours a piece times 15... That's 30 hours plus all the things. So you're looking at like 32 or 33 hours worth of content.
I liked the webisodes. I felt like their flow was nice. Mm-hmm. I just felt like some of the episodes had a lot of filler. There was a couple couples that I was just like, these are boring.
Yeah, and you kind of have to slog through it to get there. We could have marathoned the first 2 phases and part of phase 3 of the MCU.
You're not wrong.
In the time it took to watch 90 Day Fiancé. But let me tell you how much trash this show is. But in like the best possible way.
Some people were just straight up trash.
Garbage. Total garbage.
Some situations were trash. And sometimes the show just portrayed things as trash.
You know, with... what was that show that you watched where like the producers kind of like...
Oh, Unreal?
Unreal. Yeah, you know that... Some of the producers on this were like, okay, you can't just give it away too fast. You have to draw it out to make them want to watch more, right?
Yeah, Unreal is a scripted show, but it's made by people that used to work on The Bachelor, and so it's kind of showing how, like, they have producers for these people, these reality stars, and even though what they say is real, like, they're coached kind of in a way that makes it seem like it was their idea to say it, but...
Or, like, they're given limited information so that they... Like, do a snap reaction rather than know, like, the whole story first.
Yeah.
It's very sneaky, and I think 90 Day Fiancé is super guilty of this. So, this is before the 90 days, and it... Now, we haven't seen any of it before this, and there's
been several seasons. I've seen clips, and I know what it is.
Right. But there's been several seasons, and the idea is that somebody comes from another country, and they have 90 days to get married in order to get a certain type of visa.
But you start the process, and once you're in the process of getting this visa, at a certain point, that's when you come over here, and you have 90 days to get married.
Right.
At least that's what I understood. I mean, I know it's a lot more complicated, there's a lot more paperwork to it, and the whole idea is a lot more than just like, oh, well, you come over here 90 days, you get married, you get your visa. Like, there's a lot to it, but still.
But because there's so many people, it draws it out. And like I said, that's what it normally is. Well, before the 90 days, it actually flips it. So we get all these American people who are dating people overseas.
Who are hoping to move their significant other
right
over here.
And this is a different type of visa for some of them. is that they have to either be engaged beforehand or they have to have, like, some relationship established. So they're going to this other country to establish this in-person relationship for the visa process.
A lot of them are trying to see whether it's even worth, like, moving over here. And then you've got David, who, bless his dumb heart, who goes over. He needs pictures to start the visa process. But he... I didn't ever think that...
Okay, so how we're going to do this is because there are so many different people and so many different stories, we're just going to talk about each of them one at a time and kind of get the basic idea of their story. So okay. We'll start with David since you brought him up.
Okay.
He's introduced like in episode 3 or 4, and he's going to meet Svetlana from Ukraine. This is the 4th time he's going, and there's always some ridiculous excuse why she doesn't show up. Right, she had a death in the family, or she was super sick, or she got cold feet. Whatever the case is, he goes to Ukraine, he spends like a week there, and then he ends up coming back because he never gets to meet Lana.
Right.
And all his friends are like, you're getting scammed, dude, you're a fucking fool. Because it's not just, oh, we've been dating for 7 years. It's the fact that he's using a paid website, which is essentially a mail order bride type website that they have in Ukraine. And it's a paid service, and so he can't communicate with her outside of the site, which is very frustrating because he can't text, he can't email, can't call, makes meeting up very difficult.
Now, we didn't understand why, and he doesn't do a really good job of explaining why he can't talk to her outside of the website until the tell-all, when you find out, and he tried to be like, well, it's just the way it works. No, it's not. It's because he's using a bride service. He doesn't say that. But we looked it up, what he was doing, and why he couldn't talk to her, and what he's using.
It's a legitimate bride service.
It's a bride service. That's what it is. David can deny it all he wants. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to say it's wrong. Just that's what it is. Just call it like it is.
And I'd say if it works for him, that's fine. But he's been doing this since the 90s, since it like came out of a catalog, before the internet was really a thing. And he still hasn't found a Ukrainian bride.
He's still never been married.
He started when he was in his 30s, and now he's 61 or 62 or something like that. So for half his life, he's been trying to find some Ukrainian bride, and he spent probably $1 million on this fucking website and
travel expenses. Now, I gotta say, we were 100% convinced that she wasn't real.
Right, because when he goes the 4th time... He's like, oh, we're going to meet at the train station. And she doesn't show up. And they talk and she says, well, I'll meet you at this restaurant. He's there for like 3 hours. She doesn't show up. He takes matters into his own hands. He goes to her hometown, to the address that she gave.
And she's not there.
It's a fake address.
Now, I will say, we didn't think she was real, but that's before we knew he used a mail order bride service. When he gets home, he hires a private detective The private detective is like, look, dude, move on. She's not real. I can't find her.
You're getting scammed. She's on like 8 different sites using all these different names.
And he's like, even if that's really her, she's still scamming you. And David's like, no. She's real. She loves me.
So let's buy another fucking plane ticket to go a 5th time because it's true love.
Now we're just going to spoil it right here. And he does meet her.
No. We're sitting there like, what a maroon. And what a schmuck.
She freaking walks out and it's really her. Like, she... Now, granted, her photos are a little photoshopped, I would say.
But she looks like her.
But she looks her. No more than any other, like, American girl. And she's pretty. But I do not think... And you can call me out if you think that's not true. I don't think she loves him.
What?
I don't think she's actually going to marry him. I think she's going to take the gifts and the money and keep stringing him along as he wants until he gives up.
Well, he's old. He could die. Corona's a thing. I think this happened before Corona. You don't know.
Well, the tell-all was during Corona.
Right. He seemed fine then, except for crazy.
We'll just cover what happens in the tell-all. They couldn't get a hold of Lana.
Shocker.
They got a hold of the girl in the Philippines.
At least Rosemarie from the Philippines. She speaks a little bit of English. But... Lana is a lost cause. She doesn't speak a word.
So, David's still convinced that they're getting married, but he hasn't talked to her in, like, what was it, like 6 days or something?
Yeah.
So, that's that about them.
Right, but everybody is calling him out for being, you know, so naive, for falling for it, blah, 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 being used. Meanwhile, every one of these motherfuckers is being used and played and being really naive.
So, well, let's move on.
You want to talk about Big Ed and Rosemary since we kind of mentioned her?
We can do that.
Okay.
Big Ed is...
Not big.
No. But his name is Ed. And I would just like to preface and say that I think he's a piece of garbage. It has nothing to do with the way he looks, though that is a little off-putting. It has to do with solely his personality. I think his personality is garbage. I think he's very rude to Rose the entire time they're together. But
he's very self-entitled.
Yeah, so Ed is from the United States, and Rose is from the Philippines. Ed sends her a lot of gifts, and at one point he gets a message from her sister, and her sister's asking for money.
Because she owns, like, a small business, right?
And he's convinced that Rose is in on it, despite the fact that she didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he goes over to the Philippines.
Now, preface it with a couple things. One, huge age difference. Ed's in his, what, 50s?
Yeah.
He has a daughter that's older than Rosemary, who's only 22 or 23.
I think she's 23.
Okay. Secondly, he said that he was her height at 5'2", because he wanted to seem taller. He's 4'11", probably weighs over 200 pounds. He looks like a thumb.
He has some kind of disease that causes him to not have a neck. Yes. He doesn't have all his vertebrae.
Right, and he's kind of grown to love himself. He, like, laughs it off and things. But at the end of the day, he still kind of looks like a toad.
You
and
know,
he acts like it, too.
I could get past the way he looks if he was a nice person.
He's just a creep. You know those trolls on the internet where it's like... Like, that's fucking Ed. Only, instead of being a troll on the internet, he's a photographer, and he photographs all these beautiful women like, now bend over, right? That's kind of the impression I get of Ed.
Yeah.
You know, he's a little bit of a creep.
I mean, we don't know him, but still. That's the impression he definitely gives off.
Right, but he goes to the Philippines to meet her, and she's very, surprised.
She's like, oh, I thought you would be taller.
He says, what, you don't like? And you can tell on her face she don't like.
I mean, yeah. And the whole time they're together, he's nothing but mean to her. Now, I didn't know that much about the Philippines other than that it was a poor country and that the living conditions were not the greatest in most
places. Right,
and
Rosemary's living conditions are no different.
So
it's very poor.
They at first stay in a hotel, and the first thing he asked her to do, he asked her to shave her legs. Even though that's not something they do over there. And she was kind of offended by it.
No, and he's like, either shave your legs or give me a kiss. And she immediately goes, shaves her legs. Right? That's kind of how... It shows how the relationship is. Like, he's constantly trying to get physical attention and love and affection. And she's like, I would rather not. Like, the whole time.
And they definitely have sex.
Mm.
And I kind of felt bad for her because she seemed really uncomfortable about the whole thing. And I feel like she probably felt some pressure to have sex. And you should never feel pressured to have sex with someone. No. I just don't think that's okay.
There's not a requirement to have sex. But at the same time, like, when you're going overseas, you're kind of expected to.
I mean, you shell out a lot of money. I mean, you probably...
You want to get something out of it. Right.
And I feel for some of the couples, it kind of made sense that they would get that intimate. They had been video chatting. They had been definitely in a relationship for a while. I felt for some of the couples, it made sense. And some of them, I just felt like Rose was pressured. Her more than most of the other couples.
Now, luckily, we weren't, like, you know, overseas, but we started as an online couple.
Yeah,
right?
So, I mean, we definitely get it.
And when we first met, I flew up to Indiana to take you to prom. And that was a really fun experience. But we were also, like, kids.
Young.
Like,
these people are all adults.
Right, they're all very adult. And
I mean, some of them are young, but they are still all over the age of 20, I think.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And so, like, the idea of going overseas, I feel like there would be even more pressure. Because you have to go through a whole visa, or not even a visa, but, like, a passport process. It's really kind of intense.
It's a lot more complicated to come here, too, I hear, in some countries.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Right, there's a vetting process, especially with the way things are run. But Rose is just really awkward around him because he's just... He's really pushy. He asks her to take an STD test.
That was... And the way he asked was just so rude. Like, there's definitely ways that he could have done things. The way he asked her to have an STD test when they're just out at dinner being nice and he's like, I want you to have a test. It's to check to see if you're clean. Like, that made... That guy, it kind of sounds like he thinks she's dirty.
No, and then on the same point, he, like, buys her Listerine and a toothbrush as a gift, but it turns out she just has a fucking ulcer.
She's like, I might see my teeth are clean, but I have an ulcer and it causes bad breath. It's a medical condition.
And
he's super judgy about where they live. And
yeah, no. And because he's like, I need a certain thread count or I get a rash. Meanwhile, she's like dripping ceilings, mice, rats in the house.
She sleeps on the floor.
We bathe with a bucket. You can get over your fucking 600 thread count sheets, you whiny but old man.
The final straw for her ends up being when they're at dinner and he's like, I'm going to have a vasectomy. I don't want any more kids. And she's been very adamant that she wants another child.
Right.
I don't even think she wanted a big family. She just wanted another
one. More kid. But because he was in his 50s, he already had an adult child, and he would have been taking on a stepchild with Prince, who's her, like, four-year-old son, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
A young son.
He couldn't have been that old, but she definitely had him when she was young.
Yeah, and so she has a son, and he would be taking on the role of parent with him. He didn't want to have another biological child. And from his standpoint, I totally see where he's coming from. But stringing her along like that was really shady, really wrong.
Yeah, he just rubbed me the wrong way.
Yeah.
Another couple on there that we'll briefly touch on them. They were not our favorite couple. Were Darcy and Tom.
So just very quick background on it. Darcy's been on 90 Day Fiancé for a
couple
of seasons.
I think.
And she met Tom previously. And before that, there was another guy.
Jesse.
There was a terrible breakup with Jesse. And so she met Tom, and he was so sweet, and he's from the UK. But they kind of had a falling out. And this season follows Tom, who comes to the U.S. to try to, I don't know, he acts like he wants to make things better.
I felt like Tom had this kind of, oh, I'm English and I'm so nice and whatnot. But really, the more you see of Tom, like, it kind of at first paints Darcy like she's kind of a bitch. But I think Tom's just a dick.
Tom's pompous.
Because when you watch Darcy in the tell-all at the end, she just genuinely seemed like she knew what she wanted. She was just really lonely, and she didn't really know how to get what she needed out of a relationship.
Now, Darcy has her problems, right?
She
is annoying. She's from, like, Jersey or somewhere. I think she's from Connecticut.
Connecticut.
But she's a twin, and both of them have had a lot of plastic surgery, and so she looks kind of fabricated, right?
A little, but, I mean, if she's happy, that's what matters.
But her attitude is just very, I want to say, straightforward. And brash and very blunt about the things she says.
I didn't hate her. I just didn't really care about the couple.
And I didn't feel like it was even necessary in this one. She didn't go overseas. It didn't belong in this season. And
they could have given them their own, like, follow-up one episode.
Right.
Just them. And we could have been... That would have been enough. But sprinkling it in, it kind of felt like they drew it out. I don't know. It didn't flow with the rest of the season.
No, with as many couples as we have and as many episodes as we have, they can structure it so that each couple has its own episode or two.
Yeah.
They could do that. But
or just do it like half and half.
Instead, they string you along and they put a little bit of every couple in every episode.
And I get why they do that, but
it's so obnoxious.
I just felt like mixing Darcy and Tom in. No offense to them. I mean, they were interesting enough, but it just didn't fit with the rest of the couples.
Didn't stay on theme.
And they end up breaking up, and Tom has moved on, and...
But then, in the tell-all, they're on okay terms. It's like, yeah, you really hurt me.
They seem okay.
But life goes on. They're not bitter like some of the other couples.
Darcy seems like she's moving on, she's happy. Tom seems happy with his new girl. Well, sort of. I guess they've broken up too, kind of. I don't know. Tom just seemed like a player, and that is what it is.
Yeah.
So, another couple... who were never really a couple, because we never meet half of it, Yolanda and Williams. Bless Yolanda's deep, little, innocent heart.
She wants to trust this man so much.
Dear Lord, he isn't real. She thinks he's this English man.
And he's all ripped and sexy, and he has these great, almost professional-looking photos. Wink, wink.
And he posts these photos all over Instagram, but yet he doesn't have access to a camera. How does he can't send her a short video? It didn't make any sense.
You know that show Catfish with Neve? Well,
Neve
and Max could have told you in about 3 minutes that this was a fucking cat. He didn't know what airport to fly into. His Instagram got deactivated.
And suddenly it was a new person.
And then she's getting emails saying, we have private photos of you and we'll release them unless you send us money.
And her daughter,
a Nigerian account. Jesus Christ, Nigeria.
And his accent is not British.
It is so bad.
It sounds like somebody trying to do it, but a British accent, but not well.
We'll have to talk about Nigeria next so that we can kind of tie it in.
And her daughter and her kids are just like, Mom, this guy isn't real. This guy isn't real. And she's like, no, I know he's real. I love him.
Her kids are just, they have patience of a saint because they're like, Mom, he's not real. And they're rolling their eyes and telling her. And she's like, but maybe, think about, maybe he is.
And then they do an image search. She's like, maybe he got hacked. And they do an image search, and his images are just, like, professional
photos.
They're
stock photos.
They're stock photos. And they hire a private detective, and the detective's like, yeah, he's not real.
And she still has hope.
Yeah.
She still thinks he's real.
She's the dumbest hoe.
She is so dumb. Yolanda Williams.
So, now we talk about a couple that one of them is actually from Nigeria. And I was kind of surprised that he was real, but then I got over that real quickly.
Yeah.
So,
and you start feeling sorry for the guy.
Oh, Lisa and Usman.
Usman, also known as Soulja Boy, which is not like American Soulja Boy like the dance. It's Soulja Boy, S-O-J-A, and he is a Nigerian pop star. He's a rapper. And he wrote a song for Lisa. I'm in love with you. Everything you want, I'll be there for you, girl.
And I would just like to preference and say that his music is heavily auto-tuned.
So bad.
When we hear him sing live, I didn't really think he was that good, but that's neither here nor there.
But he is a Nigerian Kanye West, okay? But Lisa is a very controlling 51-year-old woman. She's white, she's overweight, she's from, I want to say, California? No.
I thought she was from Jersey. I don't know.
Wherever she's from, right?
America.
Yeah, well, she's very, very opinionated and controlling, and she's in charge of her own life. And then she goes over to Nigeria to meet Usman. The Nigerian culture is very different. The man is in charge. He gets married solely to raise a family. You have to get your parents' approval or your mother's approval to get married. There's all sorts of hoops you have to jump through in order to have a Nigerian wedding. And they want to get married in Nigeria so that when Lisa goes back to the States, they can file the paperwork as a married couple.
So he can come over and live here and continue his music career.
Right, and that's one of his main goals. Even though he loves Lisa, which that goes on a roller coaster, one of his main goals is also to come to America and pursue a music career.
She's significantly older than him.
Yeah, he's 30?
I don't know. I don't remember. But she's at least 20 years older than
yes.
him.
No, and he's a good-looking guy.
He's all
right. Right? He's young. He's thin. He has kind of a little goatee going on.
He definitely has his fans over there. Like, he definitely got some fangirls.
And that's a big problem, because Lisa is the jealous type. And so, whenever any girls are saying, oh my god, I love you, Soulja Boy. We look so good together. She, like, goes on a Karen rampage.
Yeah, she's crazy.
Multiple times during the show. Like, they'll be having a normal conversation.
And all of a sudden, she'll flip her lid.
Yeah, Lisa will hear something that she doesn't like, and suddenly, I'm leaving. This is not wrong. This is bullshit. She's a liar.
She's manipulative.
Very much so.
Can I just say, I think that Usman was using her, too.
They were using each other.
They were definitely using each other.
But the fact that Usman stuck with it and stayed with her and tried to convince his family that it was the right thing, he has nerves of steel.
I think he only did it because he wanted to come to America.
Well, his mama was against it, his family was against it, his friends were against it, and his people in the music community were against it.
Well, let's just say they got married.
After a very long, long battle.
And in a tell-all, they were still together, but not together, but they were married. Like, they weren't in the same place. They were working on it. They weren't doing that well, because he's like, I'm going to add another wife. And she's like, no, he isn't. And he's just kind of sitting over there like, yeah, he is. And did you know, you may not know this, but afterwards there came out that there was some footage they deleted that they didn't use where she calls him the N-word.
No.
Yeah.
No wonder they deleted it, but no.
Well, their marriage is over now.
And not like in a fun, playful Nigerian way.
No. She thought, she has come out and said that, you know, he was using her as a scam, and that he was using her to get to America, which I...
This is true.
Don't...
What
don't
else?
Disagree. And then he was like, well, you call me a racial slur, and you're withholding money from cameos and stuff that I made. She's like, no, I'm not, and pulled out the receipts and was like, look at all this money I sent him. That's his money. And she's being blackmailed for her own money is what she's saying. And so it's just been a really nasty public thing.
I love it. It's like Jerry Springer if it was like online. 30 hours long.
They should have never gotten married. God. I just...
No, the whole time it's like, we're not getting married. Oh, I love you. We're not getting married. But we have to. You're my king.
She's saying now that he used her to get her music, his music career, like, off the ground. And he's saying that he lost his job because of her, because she's a crazy person.
Well, okay, well, that part's true.
I'm sure that both parts are true.
They're both fucking nuts.
I think they're both scammers, and I think they both deserve what they get.
You can't grift a grifter. You want to take a break from 90 Day Fiancé, move on to a couple things, and then come back to
it? Yeah.
Because I bet people are getting tired of listening to the same show. It's been a half an hour almost.
All right, well, let's talk about, we finished Community.
Yes, we did.
I will just say, I liked the show towards the end, but the first three seasons are superior, and it just was never the same after Troy left.
Right, because I'm not sure how many of you have actually seen Community, all six seasons, hashtag and a movie. There are about seven or eight main characters in the show, and the first four seasons stay pretty solid with the cast. This includes Troy, which is, you know, Childish Gambino, and it has Yvette Nicole Brown as Shirley, and it has Pierce, who is played by
Chevy Chase.
That's the one. But everyone else,
his name is Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. But there's this whole cast, and there's those three in there as well. Between seasons 4 and 5, those three kind of drop off, whether it's because Chevy Chase is racist, or because people think that Chevy Chase is racist, or they go and pursue other careers.
Sherry left. She actually left to really go take care of her dad. Her dad was sick.
Right. But because of that, they kind of did a kind of a change out in cast. They replaced Chevy Chase with another old white guy.
Who only lasted a season.
Mm-hmm. And then the next season, they had two new characters. There was a older black man
who's a hacker. No, so, he makes computer programs.
Right. And then there was a lady who was supposed to be making the school better, and she was kind of an uptight prude type thing, and
she was in Criminal Minds. She's a great actress. I just think it was a poor part.
Right.
No offense to her.
And it's kind of offensive because they kind of have a pull out to see what her sexuality is. And it's kind of a running joke, but it's still in poor taste.
It wasn't very funny.
No.
I know that season 4 doesn't have Dan Harmon in it. He's not the showrunner for season 4. And you could definitely tell season 5 and 6 were better. But it just wasn't quite the same. Half the cast is gone, and it was good that they ended it when they ended it.
They tried to move it along, and they tried to still build stories with who they had and what they had. It felt a little more inorganic. Now, I will say, Troy and Abed in the morning is the best shit of the show. I love that bit. It's a great bit. And with Troy gone, Abed is still a fun character, but he's not...
He doesn't have anyone to bounce off of.
Exactly. It's like Laurel and Hardy, right? If it was just Laurel, it wouldn't be near as fun.
And I will also say that Britta got infinitely worse over the last couple seasons.
Yeah.
I never really liked her that much, but her character was at least interesting, and I understood why she was part of the group. And she just got... There was this whole storyline with her parents, where she was like, my parents are awful people, and then they're the best people ever.
Yeah.
And they've been paying for her stuff secretly for years and years. And she just became this terrible person. Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say that Alison Brie and Joel McHale, I love both of them. They're really fun.
Joel kind of seemed like he was phoning it in a little bit.
Yeah, no. And Ben Chang, he's a ridiculous character, but he plays the same type of ridiculous, and it gets old really fast, I think.
I really felt like his whole storyline was weird.
Yeah. He went on one of the weirdest character arcs of anyone in the story. He had, like, Changnesia for, like, a season and a half.
You know, I didn't hate Changnesia, but I felt like it was weird that at the end he just decided to be a normal person. However, there was a really fun, funny moment in the finale where he's like, wow, am I on meds in this scenario? And that was really funny to me. The Dean...
Oh, yeah,
I
want to talk about the Dean for sure.
I feel like the Dean got a really nice storyline where they talked about they asked him to be gay, but he was just like, I'm not just gay. But it doesn't really clarify
he says,
everything
like,
he is.
He says, saying I'm gay is like saying the ocean is wet, right? Like, there's a lot more to it than just, I'm gay.
And I wanted them to, like, clarify it and him to come out and have this beautiful moment where he just was fully himself. But I just didn't feel like it had that. I felt like it had very little payoff.
Because even though he doesn't officially come out until that point, we all know, right?
Well, yeah, and he's, like, in love with Jeffrey.
No, and seasons in, I think it starts in maybe season 2 or 3, he starts dressing up. And he has, like, these really elaborate outfits at the beginning of the show. And it's just, it's great. But even then, it could just be drag. But in the last bit, it's like, well, he comes out and he's trans.
Is he?
They say it in the last episode, but that's like one of the many alternate
endings
for season 7, right? And so it's still kind of ambiguous, like, is he gay and trans? Is he actually trans playing off as gay? What's
really
going on?
I really felt like they had this really great episode where they talked about, well, he's not just gay, and then it had such little payoff at the end where they didn't let him be him.
I do like that they had a song for him, Gay Dean. Gay Dean.
That was funny.
Gay Dean. Gay Dean.
That's
I'm like, yes, it's so fun, and then it goes nowhere.
I felt like, at the end, I do feel like a movie would help things. It would help me feel a lot better about where things ended.
And you have to have Troy in an identical Brown back. No Pierce, though. He's dead. Fuck him.
Shirley didn't really have a satisfactory ending, because she went off to take care of her dad, didn't come back to have a good ending. Troy doesn't. He's just off adventuring. We don't really know.
No, he finds himself because when Pierce dies, he like gives Troy his money.
He only had to be gone for a year, and then he didn't come back.
And then after that year, he just kind of disappears. Would have been really nice if season 5 he's gone,
and then
season
back.
6 he's like, I had my year, man, it was fun.
But and then Jeffrey had he hates being a teacher, and then he's just stuck there.
The story of my life.
But Abed got a job, which was really nice.
In Hollywood,
which is where he went. And Annie got an internship. And they're probably not... They're the only two that really got a happy ending.
A reasonably positive note. Anyway, we're done with Community.
Alright, so this is a show we kind of watched a while back. But I guess we just never talked about it. I don't know if we just... We started writing things down, so we stopped forgetting things. It's called Upload. It's on Amazon. And the basic premise is that when you die, you can be uploaded if they, you know, save your memory right before you die. But it is not a reversible process. If you're going to die, you need to make that decision because they shoot your head off with a laser. Which, I did not know that was going to happen. And we're watching the first episode and he's like, your vitals are going downhill. Do you want to upload or not? And he's like, okay, I'm going to upload.
Right, but his girlfriend's really pushing it because she's the one...
paying for it.
He's like, come on, we'll be together forever. I'll be an old lady, but that's just like in like 60 years.
And so he's like, okay, and he has his hospital gown on. He's like, sit here. And he goes, what's that vat for? And he's like, don't worry about that. And he just pushes a button and his head comes off and I was just like, oh my goodness.
But they upload your consciousness, essentially, and all your memories, and you kind of build new memories. It's
right.
Not your literal brain. It's like kind of an AI brain based on everything you've already learned. But it creates this kind of a digital world where you can live, and it's pay for play. So if you have someone on the other side or a really big bank account going in, then you can live indefinitely at a pretty good lifestyle. You can go swimming. You can ride a dragon. You can do all sorts of fun stuff. You can eat McDonald's.
He is being funded by his girlfriend, and she's really controlling. She, like, gives him an allowance, but she buys him all the things she wants. As the season goes, he's falling in love with his angel. His angel is, like, his tech support. If he's having trouble, the angel comes, and she's, like, she's a real person.
Right.
On the outside.
But her job is to keep him happy.
Right.
And they get a rating system, and that's kind of how they keep their job and get raises and things, where their clients give them ratings of 5 stars or whatever, and that allows them to get bonuses or more vacation pay or, you know, discounts to get their own upload.
Turns out, as you go along, you see that he was probably murdered. He died in a car accident, which is just not something that happened.
Because this is set slightly in the future, and now they have cars that are kind of self-driving, and there are different modes like, you know, prioritize the driver, prioritize pedestrians. hands-free, all sorts of different options. But it didn't respond to him at all, and he ended up rear-ending the back of a big truck.
But the car said wasn't there.
Yes.
And turns out it was her dad, right? Or we don't know that, really.
It was either her dad or, like, his business partners.
Well...
I forget.
The main character, who's played by Amell...
Robbie Amell.
Robbie's character was developing a free, basically, upload system with his partner.
It was software to have a free source code to upload into a generic afterlife.
But a good one.
Yeah, but nothing that you have to pay all this money to get into.
Which threatened all these business people, and so obviously someone killed him off. When he wouldn't sell his tech to this company with his partner, they ended up killing him off. Now his partner is still alive and has covered a lot of it up with them. And we don't really know who's bad, who's good, but he's slowly learning all this stuff, and he remembers at the end of the episode, but he ends up going to pay per data, kind of. Like, it'd be like data for your phone.
You get, like, 2 gigs for the month, and then once it's gone, you're gone.
You're frozen for the month.
So for the whole time, you just kind of, like, sit still and don't think. And if you really want to do something, you can, but it drains your data. And it's very difficult to actually live a life when you have to concentrate on not moving the whole time.
Yeah.
And if you think too hard about it, that also loses data.
And he uses the last of his data to save his angel in real life, basically, who is also trying to murder her now because she knows some of the truth.
Right, and then, like, the season ends with his actual girlfriend, like, dying.
Who they'd broken up, and she uploaded herself.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I want to be with you.
And meanwhile, he's, like, in pay data.
And she gives him a gig, and he uses it all screaming.
Like, his mind is blown so much, he burns through a data.
So I'm really looking...
gig of data.
I'm looking forward to season 2. I kind of sad we didn't talk about it sooner. We would probably have more to say. It was really good. We binge-watched it in a couple sessions.
Yeah.
So we did, like, 2 or 3 sessions, and then
it was
gone.
And there's a few supporting characters, right? There's a young kid. There's kind of a younger army vet. And there's, like, kind of a dark underground area that they can go to that you can, like, hack into the system to give yourself a tattoo or whatever.
That kid goes through puberty.
But it's the wrong puberty and turns into a girl. It's like I said, there's a lot of different things that are really unique that they do with the show that I haven't really seen otherwise. And so for season 2, I'm hoping to find out who kills him. And I want to see how that relationship works with his girlfriend being in the upload while also...
Like, did she kill herself? What happened there?
Yeah, and the angel... Like, what's going on with her?
He's in love with the angel.
And we need to know how that turns out.
Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to season 2. I think it was a really good show. Give it a check out. It was good.
Speaking of season 2s, we just finished season 1 of Doom Patrol. And I know season 2 has been streaming on HBO Max, but we haven't caught up on it because we wanted to make sure we talked about season 1. We watched season 1 of Doom Patrol. And so, you know, this is going to be an amazing couple months for season 2s, right? Because Doom Patrol season 2 is coming out. There's only a couple episodes left. We have season 2 of Umbrella Academy, which just came out today. So we're probably going to end up watching that for the next podcast.
I think we should do a whole season 2 podcast for maybe, well, I don't know. I was thinking if we did season 2 of Umbrella Academy and The Boys.
The Boys comes out the month after. Doom, and I'm really excited about that too.
And Doom Patrol, because Doom Patrol will be finished by then, I believe. So if we waited and did it in September, we could have a whole thing.
Let's just think. They're all superhero shows and they're all very quirky. They're all season 2s, which means they build upon the previous season. I think having a superhero season 2
stream mini that'd be good.
In a month's time would be good.
Well, let's talk about Doom Patrol.
Okay.
Let's talk about the things we like. This is kind of a rebirth for Brendan Fraser.
Ish. Well, actually, almost literally.
He hasn't been doing anything for a while. I mean, he's done some projects here and there, but I would say this is the first thing consistently that he's done in a hot minute.
Yeah, he normally does things like guest star.
We're big Brendan Fraser fans.
Well, you more than me, but I definitely do enjoy him.
So, that was my big draw to the show, and I gotta say, I'm not disappointed. His character is definitely probably my favorite.
Like, the weird thing about Doom Patrol is that two of the biggest stars they have, Matt Bomer and Brendan Fraser, both of them see very little actual, like, face time. Because Doom Patrol is a story about a lot of abnormal people.
Probably cheaper that way.
Freaks, kind of, you would say. And they are living in a house under someone who calls himself the Chief, and he's in a wheelchair. But the characters are as follows. You have Rita Farr, who plays Elastigirl, which is not related to the Incredibles at all. But she's a 1950s movie star who fell into
a swamp
and ended up getting weird, like, plasticky powers. And she's always, like, melting and globbing up. And it's really gross, but helpful at times. And then a little bit later, there is a character called Negative Man. And he was a pilot, but he is a closeted homosexual. He has a family, but he also has a boyfriend in the Air Force. And he goes on this test flight, and he ends up encountering this crazy force, and even though he probably should be dead, there's this spirit kind of living inside him, kind of like an electrical being.
And it keeps him alive.
Right.
And then you've got Crazy Jane.
And she's from the 70s, and she was in a psych ward, and each of her multiple personalities has a different power set.
She started off, she split into multiple personalities because something that happened to her as a kid. And then at one point she gets this shot that ends up giving them powers.
Right. And so, like, Hammerhead is super strong and really rambunctious. And there's one, I think her name is, it's not Karen, but she, like, can put you under a love spell. Flit can teleport. The therapist can, like, kind of make you
do things.
And one of them's like a flame monster. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And they all manifest themselves in different ways and kind of at random. So sometimes there'll be like something really good happening to Jane, and then out of nowhere Hammerhead will come out and just fuck it all up.
And some of them change her appearance and some of them don't. It just kind of depends on the personality. Right.
And in her brain you kind of see that they are different people kind of living in the underground of her mind.
And then you've got Robot Man.
Robot Man, which is your favorite.
Yes. He's played by Brendan Fraser, and he was a race car driver who was not exactly the nicest man to his wife, but when he tried to re-counsel with her, there was an accident, and all that was left that was savable was his brain. So the doctor, the chief, put him in a robot suit, and pretty much all he is a brain.
Right, he's a brain in a robotic body. So he's impervious to pain, he doesn't feel anything, but he can't
feel anything good either.
He's really clunky, too.
Can't eat.
Right. And you find out later in the season that it wasn't his whole family that died. It's just his wife, and his daughter actually ended up growing up without him. And that really gives him a complex because he feels like he missed out on his whole daughter's life and that he wants to be a part of it, but he's a monster now. Kind of like the thing in Fantastic Four, right? He wants to live a normal life, but he knows that he can't. And it's really sad for him.
And then you've got Cyborg, the most famous of the characters that might people...
The most mainstream, and that's right. Mostly for Teen Titans fame. Now, in the comic books, Beast Boy was a member of the Doom Patrol.
And we don't talk about Beast Boy ever.
Right. It's like he doesn't exist, which I think is stupid. I think Beast Boy should at least be mentioned in passing,
well,
because
I think
he does exist.
Maybe in the first season they felt like it was too much. They wanted to introduce these characters and give them a really solid...
Well, hopefully in season two we kind of get to see where they go. Right. But for those of you who don't know, which I mean obviously you do, but Cyborg, he was an athletic star. There was a big accident where his mother died, and his dad saves him by filling his body with cybernetics. Mm-hmm. And so he's able to access all sorts of internet grids and electrical systems.
All kinds of stuff.
He has like a sonic blaster in his arm.
Right.
All sorts of fun stuff. But the story here is the chief goes missing.
Because
there's a character named Mr. Nobody, and he's played by
Alan Tudyk.
Who is amazing.
Alan
Tudyk is just awesome. If you haven't seen Tucker and Dale versus Evil, watch that movie.
We're going to talk about it in the next podcast.
On Netflix, because it's phenomenal. But he plays Mr. Nobody, and he's kind of a reality-warping character. And he rips a hole in a town nearby Doom Manor and sucks the chief into it. And most of the season is these five characters trying to get the chief back.
Right. And they meet other characters along the way. There's
Some are members of the Doom Patrol in the comics. Some are cameos from different DC stuff.
Like Animal... What is his
name? It's Animal Mineral Vegetable Man.
Yeah, that was weird.
He's a weirdo. But he actually is a comic book character, and he is weird as shit.
He has a velociraptor as a second head.
Mm-hmm. And it gets him into all sorts of trouble.
It definitely does.
There's Danny the Street, who plays a very big part in this.
Danny the Street was my favorite side character.
I love Danny the Street. And you think, Danny the Street, what is that? Well, there's a street that pops up at random.
He's a non-binary street.
Mm-hmm. And it has inhabitants, and there are buildings and things. But the street is sentient.
Their name is Danny.
Yes.
They have like a basically, Danny the Street is kept alive by a party. As long as there's a party going on, Danny the Street's alive.
Right.
And Danny...
But you show up to the street, and you're like, Danny, where are you? And then, like, the sign on the flower shop will change, and it'll say, I'm here.
I missed
What's
you.
Up? Exactly. Like, Danny is themselves a, you know, they interact, but they're a place. And it's very, very strange. But it works.
It's a safe haven for people that are different.
It is such a weird idea that a character could be a street, but
it is what it is. Works.
There's also the beard hunter who eats beard and like knows your history and like can see your future and shit. It's very weird. There's also Flex Mentallo, who when he flexes his muscles, he can manifest different superpowers.
I like Flex quite a bit.
Kind of like Jane and her like different personalities. His different flexes when he strikes different poses. It makes new superpowers. And one of the funnest moments of the fucking show is when he tries to flex to get them to go into a comic book, when in reality he just makes everyone come. They're on Danny the Street. He flexes and everyone reaches climax, Danny included. Just everyone is just like...
I don't think that was the funnest moment.
Oh, it was so funny though.
I thought it was so awkward.
That's the best part.
I was like, can you imagine how embarrassing it would be to orgasm in front of everyone else? Like, that would be weird.
But everyone's doing it, so it's not weird.
Yeah, it's still weird. Except for Cliff.
Right, and then he fakes it. He's like, oh, because he doesn't want to feel left out.
Poor Cliff.
Poor guy. But luckily, I will say, even though Cliff
is Robot
and,
Man.
And Negative Man, both of them, even though they're mostly either wrapped up in bandages or in a robot body, they do have several flashbacks and, like, weird alternate reality sections
where you see them
actually acting, which is good. You actually get to see Brendan Fraser and Matt Bomer
because they're not in the suits. We googled it.
Yeah, they have stand-in body belts.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to be in that suit if I could get paid to not be.
So it's kind of I would say it's probably 70% voice acting and 30% like real.
It's like the Mandalorian. You know that the voice, that guy's not in the suit.
Not the whole time. No,
he's almost never in the suit.
Which is very weird.
You can, and they don't even have the same person be in the suit the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is super weird.
But in Doom Patrol, there's also a lot of weird villains, right? There's a donkey that is like home to an alternate universe. There's these weird parents who like raise a son who's not the Antichrist.
I mean, yeah, though.
But he's like the unmaker of reality, right?
Well, he's the book.
Yeah.
And once you read him...
reality starts to unravel.
A giant eye comes in the sky and starts zapping everything.
Yeah, but his parents are weird-ass villains. You have Mr. Nobody, who's very weird. You have a rat whose parents are killed, and it goes on a rampage.
And then there's the cockroach.
There's a cockroach who's, like, super smart.
And super religious.
He's voiced by Curtis Armstrong, who you may know from Revenge of the Nerds. Or Supernatural.
I mean, I don't want to give everything away.
But we've given away a lot, but in general, it's just like a crazy, wild fucking ride. And for characters that you don't know going in, who you don't really care about going in...
This is a lot like Guardians of the Galaxy.
You learn so much about them, and you kind of feel kinship with their crazy.
I felt like it was like a rated R Guardians of the Galaxy.
Cliff throws around F-bombs the whole time.
I don't blame him.
It's so funny.
I relate to Cliff a lot.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird, because I'm not a robot, but...
I am not a robot.
But
get
it.
Hold up. When you go online, do you have to click that checkbox, I am not a robot? And then it's like, bitch, are you sure? Maybe a robot clicked this. How do you even know?
Shush, leave me alone. I have feelings.
Yeah, but season 2, from what I've heard, it's great, and I'm really looking forward to it, because...
We just don't want to binge it and talk about it too quickly. Give you guys time to watch season 1 and 2 if you haven't.
Overall, that's a high recommend.
It was one of the favorite things we watched recently.
I definitely think that was probably my favorite thing that we've watched.
I agree. We're going to talk about something that is pretty nostalgic. from our childhood, kind of, called Supermarket Sweep.
Okay.
They recently put it on Netflix.
And every time we're like, I wonder what we should watch, it's always like, Supermarket Sweep.
It's not, like, highbrow. It's not
It's really stupid.
It's not even recent.
But it shows, like, how dated things are. Everything from outfits to attitudes to the groceries that are being checked. There are things that aren't even being produced anymore. And they're like, oh my god, this is a household name. And I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
I don't even remember my mom buying some of those products when I was a kid.
Right, okay, so you say Go-Gurt right now. Oh, Go-Gurt. Everyone knows Go-Gurt. But you say, like, Tang? No one fucking knows what Tang is anymore.
Yeah, but some of these products are older than that.
Oh, yeah, and things that were around for a minute and then they just, like, left.
The thing about it, let's explain the show and then I'll tell you what. So the show is basically, they have three couples. They're not
normally they're girlfriends, but sometimes it's couples, sometimes it's roommates.
Girlfriends, they're friends. Female
friends. They both have kids. They work in the same office. Girlfriends. But everyone has these big feathery hairstyles and cardigans.
You gonna let me explain the show or what?
No.
So they have to answer questions about different grocery products, and they earn time, and at the end, there's a big sweep where they go out, and whoever fills their carts with the most expensive products gets the chance to follow a puzzle and win. It's like $5,000.
Which back then was like $8,000.
They're like, look at all this stuff they put in their cart, and then they total up the groceries, and it's like $800.
Like, today that'd be $2,000.
I'm like, wow, you got 5 hams and 5 turkeys and all those other things, and you only spent $800?
Sign me up. Where's my coupon book?
Like, they're putting diapers and all this expensive stuff.
And they also have bonuses, so there's like stuffed animals and inflatables that you can pick up. Fill a candy bag for $100. Solve this puzzle and you'll also get a product for like $250.
I just want to go back in time and buy their groceries. Because there was one episode I was like, that was only $600. It was like 4 carts.
Yeah. But also, it's big shit like diapers and things. Like,
diapers are hella expensive.
I know, but they take up a lot of space, too. So it makes it look like your cart is a lot fuller than it actually is.
5 double packs of diapers?
What you really do is you go down the medicine aisle and you grab all the medicines.
I think you're only allowed to get 5 types of
medicine.
Yeah,
you're only allowed to get so much. And that's really disappointing.
But, yeah, they get 5 double packs of diapers and they're only worth like $20 a piece. It's easily $60 a piece.
But
it's fun though.
There's a lot of really fun games involved. Honestly, I just like watching it because I'm like Sunkist, right? I like solving the puzzles and
yeah.
What's most frustrating is they'll go out and they'll say, oh well, I have to find the Pam and cooking spray, and they're standing there and they're staring right at it,
and
but
you can
not,
see it.
They're not picking it up. They're just looking all around it, and I'm like, you dumb, just pick it up. It's right there. Get it. And they don't, and they lose all the money.
So
that's all I have to say about that.
Another show we started a while ago, and we finally finished, is it's on Hulu, and it's called The Great.
Mm.
It is a loosely based...
Very loosely.
...historical comedy about Catherine the Great and her husband, Peter, Tsar of Russia.
Yeah, he's the emperor.
Is he?
Yeah.
So he's played by Nicholas Holt. And she's played by...
Elle Fanning.
But basically, the Emperor Peter is kind of just generally a bad guy.
He's a douche. He's young and he's entitled, and his dad was Peter the Great, and now he's been left the country, and he just kind of runs into the ground because he's self-absorbed. Because
he is the way he is. And Catherine decides to take over. But along the way, there's all sorts of sex stuff going on, and...
Right, because her main purpose... is to beget a child.
Apparently. Like,
and to continue the lineage. But she is way smarter than him, even though she's young. But she's also very idealistic, and she thinks she knows about the way the world should work, and really she doesn't. But she tries.
She tries super hard.
She really thinks that she can do a better job than him, because a monkey could do a better job than him.
At one point, he thinks someone's trying to kill him, which it's Catherine. Spoiler alert. And rather than be intelligent and investigate...
He tortures.
Yeah, he decides to torture every single person in the court.
And it's really unique torture. It's not like, we'll beat you with a stick. It's like, no, we'll drop a brick on your head, but you have to walk in a circle and watch and, like,
yeah, but at
worry
one point,
about it.
Yeah, and they pull their fingernails out, and they put eels on their face. Like,
terrible
it's a
stuff.
Whole thing.
But in the story, she has a lover who's been given to her because she doesn't really want to have sex with Peter the Great, or with Peter.
He doesn't really want to have sex with her at first.
Right, and so they each have their lovers on the side, and she ends up falling in love with him. With Leo. And meanwhile, her...
husband.
Well, not her husband. I'm going to say her lady-in-waiting,
Muriel. Yeah, Muriel. She used to be an actual lady.
And then she got demoted because her father was a real prick. There's also Orlo, and he's a scholar in the court. And he understands that the...
court needs to be better.
Yeah, the country's going downhill. But the patriarch, the main priest guy, he is crazy for the church, and he'll do anything to stay in power under Peter.
He definitely doesn't like Catherine. And then, towards the end of the season, he doesn't like Peter anymore either.
But he wants to make sure that he...
Is in charge
of the church, because he's just as bad as Peter is. Overall, the first season ends with Catherine trying to start a coup. Everything goes sideways, but she does make progress in trying to change things around the court.
It's kind of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, but she tries to introduce art and science. She negotiates the end of a war.
She almost has Peter where she wants him.
And she fucks it up.
Well, and then there was the smallpox and whatnot. And Peter actually does fall in love with her. And I thought that was kind of a nice storyline, but he is crazy, so do you really want a crazy person loving you?
Well, if you're already married.
I guess. I mean, it was a good show. We got kind of bored towards the end just because we were just watching it because we wanted to get it finished.
Yeah.
But if genuinely given time, we would have finished it, I think, organically.
One other thing about The Great is that even though it is very, very loosely based on historical facts, this is a good historical fiction. It's romantic-ish.
All the actors do a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah, I know. The sets, the acting, the costuming. It really draws you in. I don't know. I think the structure of it kind of lagged a little bit.
All right, so do you want to finish the three couples we've got left?
There's only three left?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. I thought there were more than that.
There's only eight couples.
There's only eight couples in 90 Day Fiancé?
Mm-hmm. One of the remaining couples is Avery and Ash.
Okay.
Avery lives here in America.
She's like 25.
Sorry.
She has like a
squeaky.
She has like a 2-year-old son.
And Ash also has a young son, and he lives in Australia. Avery goes over to Australia to meet him. Ash is a relationship counselor, and at first things seemed like they were gonna be okay. But the more you get to know Ash, the more manipulative he kind of seems,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
For a relationship coach, he really doesn't understand how
relationships work. Yeah, he lied to her about a lot of stuff. And he just didn't think it was that big of a deal. But in my opinion, it definitely was.
Like, one of the biggest things is, if you're going to try to bring a young child to the United States from Australia... that's going to cause some serious separation and, like, culture shock. He's going to be leaving his friends, his mother, his other family.
Yeah, because it's not like his ex-wife is dead.
Yeah, no, she's around.
They're just divorced.
And at first, Ash is like, oh, yeah, it's really not a problem. And Avery talks to his ex-wife, and she's like, yeah, I'm having some serious issues with this.
And the ex-wife doesn't even dislike Avery. She's just like,
doesn't like the idea of it.
Yeah. So... that's a whole thing. I don't really have too much to say about them other than...
Also, Ash has a seminar about relationship
stuff.
Yeah,
I was going to mention that.
And he comes off like the most chauvinistic, like, a-hole.
He seems really sexist. And I just didn't really like him. I kind of felt like Avery deserved a lot better.
Yeah.
She was pretty. I feel like she could find someone better.
Mm-hmm. Now, she might have other baggage, but I don't think her baggage is so bad
that she deserves
him.
Pants?
Who's like... as a woman, you need to act a certain way because men are a certain way and it's just not going to change. So you just be emotional and let men do the thinking.
Right.
Like, what the fuck, dude? I understand, like, you want things a certain way, but maybe you're divorced for a reason, a-hole.
The part that bothered me the most was that he was just always so shocked when she would try to be like, hey, we need to talk about this. And she would ask him legitimate questions, in my opinion. And then he would just get mad at her. Like, why are you questioning me?
Right.
Like, this is important stuff to talk about.
It's questions like, you have so many female clients. Do they have access to you all the time? What keeps you in check? And he gets so offended. And this boy has, like, crazy eyes. Every time she asks a question,
his eyes just bug out of his skull.
Like, he just doesn't understand. And I'm like...
Well, my part was she legitimately sat down in a calm manner and tried to ask questions about what he does for a living to find out more information, and he just overreacts. And then when she asks about, you know, his ex-wife, and she finds out that they haven't been divorced that long, not nearly as long as he told her.
He was like, well, we've been separated for a long time, but they've only been divorced like a year.
Yeah.
And they started dating like months ago, like within a year, so it was definitely a quick rebound for him.
And she wasn't upset about that. She was upset about the fact that he lied.
Right. And there's a lot of that going on in the show.
He lies a lot. One of the other couples was also in Australia, Erica and Stephanie.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one of them are out to their parents.
Right.
Which is kind of a big thing. And
right. So we'll start with Stephanie. Right. She lives in the United States and she's 29. And she has a disease that makes her immune system really low. So
I forget what it was.
But traveling is very difficult for her. She always needs to hand sanitize. She wears a mask.
Anything super dangerous and right, she could get sick.
She's high maintenance. Not necessarily all her fault, but...
It's what it is.
And online she's very, like, you know, playful and fun because that's her persona online. But in person she's really kind of conservative and reserved. She's not out to her parents and she's afraid to come out to her parents. So she goes to Australia, and she meets Erica, who is actually bubbly in real life.
Erica was a bit much, in my opinion, but yeah, that...
They're both extra.
They both had a lot of drama, and they were both really dramatic about everything. I will say, it started off with Stephanie being the dramatic one. However, I think Erica made some definite mistakes. First off, their first date... Now, they've just met in person for the first time ever.
Like, the day before.
And Erica takes them to a place where they take off their shirts and do boob mache. Like, they paper mache their breasts. In front of other couples, not just them. And I thought, that's a bit much for a first date. Like, you just met yesterday.
Right, start with the, you know, Cracker Barrel, right?
Call that the last date, you know? Be like, this is the last thing so we can remember each
other. After you've built the romantic, the intimacy, then you're like, okay, now I get to touch your boobies.
Stephanie was super uncomfortable with it, but she did it anyway, so...
But I think it kind of set the tone for Erica kind of being really forward sexually, and Stephanie not really being sure about it and being really reserved.
And then they end up having a fight because Erica slept with one of her friends, like, more than once, I think.
Right.
They've slept with each other in the past.
Right, no, and it's multiple friends. Like, her group of friends, they're very sexually open and sexually active. And so, Stephanie, that's really weird. And so, when Stephanie confronts the friends, like, do you still feel feelings for her? Are you still, in love or whatever?
I thought Stephanie was pretty respectful about it, but apparently that's not how it's done in Australia. I don't know. Maybe it's just a culture thing. I don't really know.
Right, or maybe just to question it at all makes her seem like she's too controlling.
I guess. But I just felt like Stephanie went about it in a really nice way, and then Erica was just all mad about it and screaming at her.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime Stephanie questioned Erica at all about anything, Erica would get really defensive. But Stephanie wasn't exactly the most trusting person either. But I get it. It's just...
They were both very interesting characters. Let me put it that way.
They were both individually nice people, but not together.
Together it didn't work. And it's pretty obvious into their visit that, you know, even though they're really great online, in person it doesn't work out. I will say that Erica comes out to her parents with Stephanie by her side. And they are very accepting. Now, we don't know if that's because all the cameras are on them and because Stephanie's there, but they seem like really nice people who are really accepting because Erica is out there, right? Her personality is really, really outgoing and strange. So,
I mean, but she's fun.
It's not like they weren't expecting something like that. When Stephanie tries the same thing with her mom, who is from the Czech Republic originally, she emigrated. And I think, wasn't that a mail order?
We don't know
if that was a visa wedding or not. But her mother is from the Czech Republic, and they're very traditional. And for her to come out as bisexual it, like, puts a real wedge in their relationship. The mom had all these dreams about going to the Czech Republic, marrying a nice man, starting a family, and now that may not happen, and that really hurts the mom.
Yeah, and that situation was kind of sad. Overall, I liked both of them as individuals. I just felt like together they made each other worse, and mm-hmm. that they definitely brought out the worst in each other, and that sucks, because they were really sweet, and at first I thought, oh, they're going to be this really sweet couple, but it just kind of sucks.
All right, so we're going to end on one of the bigger roller coasters. Not quite as big as, like, Usman, but...
I would say our favorite couple. Would you say it was your favorite couple?
As a couple, yes. Most entertaining? No, I think some of the bigger train wrecks are more entertaining.
I liked them the best, in my opinion.
No, I really enjoyed them.
So there's Varya and Jeffrey.
Who spells it wrong.
Varya is from Russia, and Jeffrey's from Tennessee. So... Jeffrey goes over to Russia, and right away, Varya doesn't think Jeffrey likes her, and Jeffrey doesn't think Varya likes him at mm-hmm. first.
But it's cultural.
Yeah, it was just kind of awkward. But they ended up getting over it pretty quickly, and they seemed like they were doing really well, other than a couple hiccups.
Mm-hmm.
Jeffrey tells Varya that he's been to prison for selling drugs, which is something she did not know.
And she's very against, but this was also, like, way in his past. Now, putting it, like, kind of, like, age-wise, he's in his early 40s, and she's just turned 30-ish.
Yeah, they're right? Not that far apart, but...
She's a young professional, but he already has adult children. And so the idea of him having a drug past back when he was a teenager, or in his early 20s, that was 20 years ago. So he has had a chance to go back to college, start a business, really build a life for himself. And the idea for her that he is an ex-con is really wrong. But especially when she invites the family, right?
Yeah, her family wasn't thrilled about it. He has a moment where he's upset with her because they go to her house and it's definitely a fixer-upper, and you can tell she's been working on it, but she said, well, I stopped working on it to save money in case I decided to move to America with you. Which I thought was entirely practical, but I guess Jeffrey didn't see it that way. He thought, well, she's just a gold digger trying to get to America.
Right. And there was another moment when he met with her friends, and they said that Varya has talked to other Americans. And that really rubbed Jeffrey the wrong way, too.
Yeah, but they ended up having a good time, and then at the end of their trip, Jeffrey proposes, and...
She doesn't say no.
Though Jeffrey insists that she does.
She says, not yet.
She says, I'm not quite ready for this step. I'm just not sure about marriage yet. And so he takes
that as a hard no. He's like, well... You said no, you made your bed, lie in it, I'm going back to Tennessee, and you're not going to be in it. And Varya's like, no, 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 I really love you, I want to continue this relationship. And he's like, probably should have said yes then.
And they leave, and he's like, I'm never going to speak to her again. And when he gets home, he's like, I'm going to go back to this girl I used to date named Mary.
Right, and they're closer in age, they had previous relationships that the timing just wasn't right. And Mary clearly has strong feelings for Jeffrey and feels kind of offended that he went to visit Varya when she's, like, right there. Why go overseas when you have a perfectly good option sitting right in front of you? And they pursue a relationship, and they start dating. And it's been, like, a month since you went to Russia, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens, Britt?
Well, she shows up at his house, and Mary's inside on his couch. And she's like, who the hell is this? I came here to show you that I love you and that I want to get married and I've made a mistake and you're in there with some other girl.
And Jeffrey's argument is that there's a reason why I haven't been texting you, I haven't been calling you, because you are a chapter of my life that I wanted to be over. You've rejected me, so I'm moving on and you should too. Mary is who I want to be with now.
No, he doesn't ever say that.
For a minute.
No, he doesn't.
That's the idea he gives off, though.
He says, well, he never says he wants to be with Mary, first off.
No. Well, he does to her. To Mary.
So he says, and this is where we disagree, I guess. He says, well, I thought we were over, so I moved on. And she's like, well, I came here to tell you I was sorry. You moved on so quickly. I don't think you really want to be with this girl. You're going to be my man again, basically. And then he takes her on a date to somewhere he knows that him and Mary's friends and Mary was supposed to be there. If he really wanted to be with Mary, he would have been like, Varya, sorry, you can't stay here. We're not together.
Right, but if someone travels overseas they spent so much time together, they got to know each other, you at least want to, like, give it a shot.
If you really cared about the other relationship.
So Mary gets really pissed, and she says, fuck this guy, I'm done. Because
good for her.
Varya is also really rude to her.
They were rude to each other.
No, but, like, she shows up, and Varya's automatically, like, you know, pulling punches, calling her, like, a homewrecker and shit.
They were in a bad situation there. But Varya tries to apologize, and then Mary's like, no, I'm not taking it, and then that was just the end of that.
Right, but Varya spends several weeks in Tennessee, and they don't follow the whole thing like they did him being in Russia.
But at the end, they do get engaged. As far as we know, they're still together. They've been kind of cryptic about it on Instagram and whatnot.
They were not on the follow-up episodes, but I did hear from a coworker who watches the show that the reason
didn't
show up is because some of Jeffrey's criminal past actually came to light, that there was like a restraining order or something, or like assault charges with his ex.
No, he was accused of assaulting, but him and Varya say it's not true.
Of course they do.
And it's a whole criminal battle, and so there was a big petition to not have him on the show. I don't know if he did it or not. I just think it's hard to be like, well, we shouldn't have him on the show when he's still undergoing trial.
Right.
This is not he did this in the past and we just found out. Like, this is something that it's hard to pass judgment when we don't know the truth yet. It's not like there was a video of him hitting somebody that came online.
Right. It's not like he's like a mainstream celebrity where you, like,
yeah,
everything else that happened prior to that and after that happens behind closed doors without cameras rolling.
I don't know. I don't know if he hit or abused some girl. I'm just saying I think that was kind of cancel culture-y, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's not my spot. TLC made the decision for their network, and that is what it is.
Right. But of the couples in this, which is the biggest train wreck? Because I know we know kind of what our favorites are, but who's, like, the worst?
Lisa and Usman are the biggest train wreck, in my opinion.
They are pretty big. I honestly think Big Ed and Rosemarie are pretty awful, but the most dramatic and, like, groan-inducing are the ones that aren't meeting them. So we're talking David and Lana. My jaw dropped when Lana actually showed up, because I was so tired of seeing this dumb motherfucker chase this girl who wasn't going to show up.
Spend so much money.
And now she finally shows up, and he, like, loses his mind, because I lost my mind. And then you have Yolanda, who's, like, literally getting catfished, like, in the worst possible way. And you have to watch her every episode be like, well, maybe he just doesn't know. Maybe he got hacked. Like, no, you're the one getting hacked.
To be fair to her.
You're getting heart hacked.
To be fair to Yolanda, she had been with her husband pretty much her whole life.
Yeah.
He had just died not that long ago. And she probably didn't understand online dating that much. She was an older lady.
And she lost a lot of weight before she started.
So she has self-esteem issues. And she's just lonely. I felt really bad for her simply because she was just naive. And it's not fair that was her first experience with an online relationship.
But at the same time, she would not listen to reason. She could not take a hint.
It hurts, though.
I know it hurts, but when literally everyone, when you're getting Nigerian emails saying, we will have you, we have your nudes.
I didn't know how Nigerians talk like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I was doing my Usman impression.
It wasn't good.
Baby love. The last thing we're going to talk about, and just very briefly.
We've wasted more time on this than we care to admit.
We're like, should we watch more shows? Should we be streaming a movie or a television show like our podcast is about? And then we go to YouTube and we pull up a 30-minute compilation of fucking TikToks. TikTok, like Vine before it, is so fucking addicting.
It definitely is.
There's several different sides of TikTok. There's people just talking to the camera. That's basic.
Mm-hmm.
You have your dance and your music tie-ins where you, like, make a joke out of the way musical phrases are. You have TikToks with characters. You have themes.
There's TikTok trends.
A lot of special effects. TikToks, too. And so there's just so much you can find that really wasn't capturable in the 6-second Vine.
Yeah, because it's, like, a minute long.
Between 15 seconds and a minute. And you can choose how long you want it to be.
We definitely have our favorite. I mean, most of the time we just skim. We either watch the compilations or we just scan through the For You page. But there are a couple, you know, people we follow that are like, oh, we gotta watch theirs. There's definitely I really like Uncle Roger and Aunt Jenny, and I hope they get together. I'm shipping them.
Mm-hmm. And we like, who is it, Loretta? No, the one who's in charge of the county parks department.
Yeah, Loretta speaking. That's actually one of the characters. His handle is Sean Barry Parsons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that's his name. But he has a lot of fun characters. He has like Helen Cumlicker.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he has Loretta at the Parks Department. Mm-hmm. So he's really fun.
Now you have the phone, but I forget her name. But she does Trump impressions, and she lips. No, I follow her on Twitter, and I love her stuff. But she's gained so much ground. Like, everyone loves her. She lip-syncs Trump, and it is hilarious. I love her.
We really like Vincent Marcus, too. He's funny. He's the guy that was on America's Got Talent recently.
Yes.
He's pretty funny.
And he does videos with Manon. A lot of people actually, like, did the transition from Vine over to TikTok.
Sarah Cooper
is her name. Thank you.
And we like Parker James. He does that face. We like him.
Oh, my God! Yeah,
I mean, yeah.
His filters. And there's a lot of filter fun that you can do with TikTok, too.
There's a lot of fun ones. There's the girl that, I forget her name, but she glues stuff to her face. She's really fun.
She is hilarious.
There's the one that does, like, a lot of lip syncs that you really like.
Mm-hmm. And there's Brittany.
I don't know her handle, but her name is Brittany. Yeah, she's super funny. But yeah.
And there's that gentleman with the beard, kind of like the ginger
Caleb.
Blonde. Yes, Caleb.
Caleb's funny.
Yeah, but we go through TikTok and we just scroll through and we find dog TikTok is a thing. We love dog TikTok.
And then you like Florida Man Friday Lady.
Mm-hmm. And Florida Woman Wednesday.
Yeah, she's fun. I mean, it got us through the pandemic pretty well.
Oh, God. And we even have a TikTok with Real Romance, but we never post on it.
We have a couple videos.
But good Lord, you like something? Follow us, share it with us, because we love watching TikTok people share with us. It is like...
You know what we should do?
It's crack. To open up your inbox and be like, ooh, someone shared it with me.
And I don't know if anyone would watch this, but if we did a video where we watched some of our favorite TikToks, like the jellyfish.
Oh my God. I need that as my ringtone.
My laugh?
No, just click. No, it says, the jellyfish. Because I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's a video... where I think a diver blew a bubble ring,
mm-hmm.
and his little jellyfish gets caught in
and he goes on spin cycle, and it sings a song and goes, yeah, yeah, yeah,
la, so, la, 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 la. It's so funny. I cried.
She's crying thinking about it. It's not even on a phone. She's literally just thinking about it, and it's making her cry.
It's probably my favorite video I've ever seen.
I like the ones that catch you off guard, and it's like, you think it's going one way, and then they give you a major comedy twist, like a punchline that you're not expecting. Like prank videos where someone jumps out and scares you. Oh, there's... So, are you... Brittany, did you just look it up? We're recording. You can't... Oh, my God.
It's so funny. Poor little guy.
Poor little guy.
Anyway.
Okay, well, follow us on TikTok. In addition to TikTok, we also have Facebook, which we don't check. We have Real Romance UCPN. On Twitter, as well as Real Romance on Instagram. My personal Twitter is @BamfingBob. Brittany's personal Instagram is BookNerd528. We check those regularly, but since y'all never get a hold of us, we don't know if you're liking us or not. So like us. Comment. Get a hold of us.
Subscribe.
Reach out. Yeah, reach out. Let us know what you are thinking, because that will help us be better.
Do you like it when we talk about like YouTube and TikTok? Because we watch those things.
Right, like we've been watching the Marble Olympics, or they don't call it Marble Olympics season.
I forget what it's called, but Jelly's Marbles.
Jell's Marble Races, and it's sponsored by Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. We watched it last time. We included it on a previous stream mini.
Do you like when we add stuff like that in? Do you like when we just talk about shows? We really diversified this time. We watched a bunch of different shows on different platforms.
Yeah.
We did like TLC and Amazon and Hulu and Netflix. But anyway.
I think we've
allotted our time today.
But I know that you love listening to us.
I hope so.
Because we have really enjoyed been talking to you. For our next episode, it's going to be the movies that we've seen. There's going to be 5 or 6 of them. We're going to try to keep it pretty simple. For our themed, we actually are going to have a two-parter for August and September.
Mm-hmm.
In August, we're going to pick out maybe a half dozen of our favorite actors, find a movie that they've been in
that
we have
seen.
Not seen, and we're going to talk about it. In September, part two, we're going to do the same shit, only with actresses. So we're going to choose some actresses we really like. And so this will be a great way for us to focus on actors we really enjoy and give you a great variety of movies. And that'll be our next two themed episodes. I think it's time for us to
go to bed
and sleep in as long as possible because I'm tired as hell.
Good night.
Thank you. Have a great one.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm last. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Stream Mini, brought to you by the Undercover Case Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, and to share with your friends.